The war, Stalin admitted, broke me. Suddenly, at dinner, he declared, "Let Vyacheslav go to work now, he's younger." So Molotov, the first of a deadly line of potential successors, got his chance to act as proxy leader. Sometime between the 9th and the 15th of October 1945, Stalin suffered a serious heart attack, and so headed south to Coldstream, near Gagra. This was Stalin's impregnable Erie, cut out of the rock high on a cliff over the sea. Rebuilt so that it closely resembled Kuntsevo, this became his main southern residence for the rest of his life. In this beautiful isolation, Stalin recuperated in a restful and hermetic holiday rhythm, sleeping all morning, walking during the day, breakfasting on the terrace, reading late, receiving a stream of paperwork, including the two files he never missed, NKGB reports and translations of the foreign press. Perhaps because he so closely supervised the Soviet press, he had surprising faith in foreign journalists. During his absence, Molotov ran the government with Beria, Mikoyan, and Malenkov, the Politburo IV. But Molotov's moment in the sun was soon overshadowed by unsettling rumors that Stalin was dying, or already dead. Reports appeared in the foreign press. Stalin focused on why these rumors had appeared, who had spread them, and why had Soviet honor, in his person, been desecrated. Perhaps Molotov was so thrilled at last to have the responsibility that he did not notice the brooding in Gagra. He was at the height of his prestige as a statesman, having only just returned from a series of international meetings. Molotov felt the time was right for a deal with the West. Stalin overruled him. It was time to tear off the veil of amity. When Molotov continued to behave too softly towards the Allies, Stalin attacked him harshly. Molotov's manner of separating himself from the government to portray himself as more liberal is good for nothing. Molotov climbed down with a ritualistic apology. It was a telling moment for the magnates. Stalin and Molotov ceased to address each other informally, no more Koba, just Comrade Stalin. Molotov, who had not grasped Stalin's new view of the West, ordered Pravda to publish a speech of Churchill's praising Stalin as this truly great man, the father of his nation. Stalin cabled a furious message, "I consider the publication of Churchill's speech with his praise of Russia and Stalin a mistake. This infantile ecstasy spawns servility before foreign figures. Against this servility we must fight tooth and nail. Needless to say, Soviet leaders are not in need of praise from foreign leaders. Speaking personally, this praise only jars on me." Just as the foreign media was trumpeting Stalin's illness and Molotov's succession, Molotov got tipsy at a reception and proposed the easing of censorship for foreign media. Stalin turned vicious. "You blurt out anything when you're drunk." When the New York Times wrote about Stalin's illness, he decided to teach Molotov a lesson, ordering the Politburo IV to investigate. Was it Molotov's mistake? The other three tried to protect Molotov. On the 6th of December, Stalin cabled Malenkov, Beria, and Mikoyan, ignoring Molotov and attacking their naivety in trying to paper over the affair. Stalin was burning at this outrage against the prestige of the Soviet government. A reprimand was no longer sufficient because Molotov cares more about winning popularity among certain foreign circles. "I cannot consider such a comrade as my first deputy." Beria, Malenkov, and Mikoyan summoned Molotov like judges, read him Stalin's cable, and attacked him for his blunders. Molotov wrote an apology to Stalin. "Your cable is imbued with a profound mistrust of me as a Bolshevik and a human being, and I accept this as a most serious warning from the party for all my subsequent work, whatever job I may have. I will seek to excel in deeds to restore your trust, in which every honest Bolshevik sees not merely personal trust, but the party's trust, something I value more than life itself." Stalin let Molotov stew for 2 days, then replied, restoring his errant deputy to his former place as first deputy premier. But Stalin never spoke of Molotov as his successor again, and stored up these mistakes to use against him.